I don't. Sheep are very stupid creatures, aren't they? I witnessed while I was on holiday in Devon this a couple of weeks ago. One had escaped from the field, a little one, tiny sheep. So it wasn't fully grown, and obviously it was supposed to be with its mother, but it had sort of like was just wandering about on the road. And there was a lady there who was trying to get it to go back in the field. Now, whether she was the shepherd or whether she was the shepherd's wife, I'm not quite sure, but she was desperately trying to get this sheep to go back into the field where it had escaped from. And every time she got the gate open enough to get it in, it ran away. So she ended up going into the field and sort of offering it some food. And eventually she managed to get it out of the road and into the field. And we'd stop the car to watch all this happen. It was fascinating. See this very timid creature running away. The reading we have today shows the contrast between two different ways of leading people. We have on the one hand, the Pharisees, who had the responsibility for the spiritual guidance and care of the people. And Jesus, who actually cares more about the people than he does about his own life. Jesus uses the image of the shepherd and the sheep because it would have been a familiar illustration to the people of the time. They would have been familiar with the reading from Ezekiel 34, where the prophet talks about how the leaders of the day were so poor at taking care of the people that the Lord promises that he himself would be their shepherd. If we just look at Ezekiel 34, going from the beginning, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals. But you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. The chapter goes on to say how God himself would be the shepherd and take care of his sheep. I myself will tend the sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. So this concept of being sheep and being tended to by the shepherd would have resonated with the people of the day. They would also have been familiar with the everyday sights of shepherds taking care of their flocks. When we think of farming in our time, shepherds are more likely to be on a quad bike, using sheepdogs to round up and drive the sheep to wherever the shepherd wants to move them. In Jesus' time, shepherding was very different. The shepherd lived with the sheep, and he got to know them, and they knew the sound of his voice. And when he called his sheep, they would follow him. They would lead them from one place to another, and because they recognised his voice, they would follow. They trusted the shepherd to lead them to safety and fresh pasture, to take them to still water where they could drink, because sheep can't drink from fast flowing water. And at night, to take them to a place where they could protect, where he could protect them from wild animals and thieves. That place of safety could be a sheep pen on the outskirts of a town or a village, where all the shepherds would bring their sheep at the end of the day, and they would be safely held overnight. The gatekeeper would admit the shepherds in the morning to collect their flock, which they did by calling them. Those sheep belonging to that shepherd would hear the familiar voice and follow the shepherd out to new pastures. The sheep only responded to the voice of their own shepherd. Shepherds did not call the sheep randomly, but only those that belonged to them. The remaining sheep belonging to another shepherd would remain and not follow the stranger's voice. They would await their own shepherd to call them out of the sheep pen. At other times, when the village or the town was too far from the pasture to return at night, there were pens built on the hillside to protect the flock. These were three-sided structures with no roof. The opening to allow the sheep into the fold did not have a gate. Instead, the shepherd would lie down in the gap, and he would become the gate, preventing the sheep from straying from the safety of the enclosure and preventing thieves and wild animals from entering and endangering the sheep. Excuse me. When Jesus says, "I am the gate," he is using this picture of a shepherd lying across the gap of a sheepfold to protect those within, to bring security and safety. We can trust him completely and rest in the knowledge that he's keeping danger from us. The Pharisees, like the Old Testament leaders, were poor shepherds. They were busy taking care of their own interests instead of caring for the people. They were the kind of leaders that Ezekiel had prophesied against. "You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost." But they didn't understand what Jesus was saying because they did not recognise this picture of themselves. So Jesus puts it another way. "Therefore," Jesus said again, "very truly I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who have come to before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal, to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." "I am the gate," Jesus told them. He was the one through whom people would be saved. Others who have tried to enter the sheep pen by climbing over the walls or breaking through them came not for the benefit of the sheep, but for their own sakes. They came to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus provided the only safe way, the only safe passage, because he loved the sheep. He cared about their welfare, their security. He wanted to bind their wounds, to strengthen the weak, to heal the sick, and to seek the strays and search for the lost. And this lack of love, compassion and care for people was the Pharisees' downfall. They, as Mike told us last week, were the ones who were meant to be the good guys. If they were in a Western, they would be the ones wearing the white hats. But they'd got so fixated on doing the right thing, in following their rules and their regulations, their religious duty, they'd lost sight of their true purpose, to care for the sheep. They were so keen to be revered by people for the way they lived and kept God's laws that they lost sight of the greatest and most important of the commandments: to love the Lord their God with all their heart with all their soul and with all their mind, and to love their neighbour as themselves. They had exchanged love of God for love of religion, for love of ritual, for love of being thought highly by others, for love of authority and position. The Pharisees were as lost as the sheep that they were meant to care for. And it wasn't that Jesus did not want to seek them. It wasn't that Jesus didn't want to be the gateway for their salvation too. It wasn't that Jesus didn't love these men, just as he loves you and me. It was that these Pharisees were so convinced of their own righteousness, so convinced of their own standing with God, so wrapped up in being high and above everyone else, that they could not understand the references that Jesus was making. And even when they did, they were offended by Jesus' words. They couldn't see the truth. And the truth, rather than turning them away from their errors, caused them to dig their heels in further and eventually to seek ways to get rid of Jesus. Jesus will emphasise his teaching with the words, "Very truly I tell you," on numerous occasions. But the Pharisees did not want to hear the truth about themselves. They were okay, thank you very much. They were good. And God was pleased with them, and they didn't need to change. Jesus wanted people to know how much God loved them, and that it was not a ritual or right religious behaviour. It was not about keeping endless rules that God was seeking. It was about this love that put God first and others next. To love with all our hearts, our minds, our souls, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. Jesus has the heart of the Good Shepherd. He wants to bind up the broken, heal the sick, and seek the lost. In Matthew 9, verse 23, we read, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers out into his harvest field.'" Jesus was not talking about a physical harvest. He was looking at those lost and confused people who'd not been cared for in the right way. People who wanted to serve God, people who desired to do God's will, but needed the care of a good shepherd that the good shepherd gives to his flock. This was the harvest that Jesus could see, a harvest of people ready to follow him, ready to listen to his voice, a harvest of people willing to come into the sheepfold and through him find salvation and eternal life. But he needed more workers, more people who would be leaders and act like him, like good shepherds, caring for the broken, for the injured, seeking the strays, the lost, and bringing them to him, so he could lead them to good pasture, fresh water, and places of safety. So he asks his followers to pray. Pray that God would send more workers to reap a harvest. This passage that we read today contains a verse that Mike referred to last week, the reason Jesus came. In verse 10 we read, "That the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The reason he came was to bring life, fullness of life. I was in the Girls' Brigade for many years, and I'm very fond of the organisation because it has an aim that's really a good one, one that we could probably all claim. I'll read it to you. The Girls' Brigade aim is to help girls become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ through reverence, self-control and a sense of responsibility to find true enrichment of life. It was through the Girls' Brigade, the work of the Girls' Brigade, that I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. And there it is in their aim, that people should know this Jesus and know this fullness of life. This is not about keeping rules, about being religious. It's about seeking to follow him wherever he leads us, knowing and trusting him to take us to the best pastures, to refreshing water, so we too can enjoy the fullness of life, so that we can be enriched and fulfilled. This was the reason Jesus came, to seek and save the lost, to lead them into life, life in all its fullness. We are about to do two things as a fellowship. Well, we're probably going to do a lot more, but two important things. Firstly, we're due to hold our AGM in November, when we will hopefully will elect some new deacons. And we're about to begin a process of seeking a new minister for our fellowship. It is important when we're electing and voting for leaders that we remember that God is calling men and women to roles of leadership, not because they're faithful in attending worship, not that that's not important, not because they're knowledgeable about their Bibles, and not because that's not important either, not because they're especially religious, but because they love God and they love people. Look for leaders who are compassionate, who have a strong desire to seek those who are lost, who care for the sick, who want to reach out with God's love to those who are in need. It is that mark of compassion, that love for one another, that love for God that should mark our fellowship. It is that love that will cause our fellowship to grow. We will struggle to be that kind of church if our leaders are more concerned about their image than they are about sharing God's love, both within and without the church. So pray. Pray that God will send more workers into his harvest field. But pray also that we will appoint the right leaders, the ones that will have compassion and love, the ones who seek to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind and all their strength, and to love their neighbour as themselves. There are many people struggling to survive in a world that is dark, cold and uncaring. The Christian gospel is very attractive. Its warm glow offering shelter, love and concern shines brightly against such a background. There is a great harvest waiting to be gathered, but the workers are few. We need too to pray that God will send more workers into his harvest field. As we give thanks today for the harvest, for the good thing that God gives to us, for our food, clothes, home, friends and families, let us also remember this other harvest that Jesus longs to gather in. Those people outside the sheepfold that will listen to his voice and follow him. And let us pray that this harvest too will be bountiful, that many will enter via the gate of the sheep, that offers love, safety, healing, security, fullness of life and eternal life. In closing, I want to ask you to think about a few things. Firstly, do you know Jesus? Do you recognise his voice, And are you following him? And if not, please speak to me or one of the deacons after the service so we can help you to know more about this wonderful Saviour who came to bring you fullness of life. Have you viewed being a Christian as more about keeping rules and attending church than being in a loving relationship with God and caring for his people? Are you like the Pharisees, so convinced of your own righteousness that you feel offended by the truth Jesus speaks? Is God calling you to be a leader in this church? What kind of minister do you think God is calling to lead us? At our church meeting this Thursday, we're going to be having a discussion about future ministry. It's really important that we find the right person to lead us. Please come and join us if you're able. And please pray that God will guide us to the right person, the person he wants to lead us. And pray that God will send more workers into his fields so that many more may learn about Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world, and the gate for the sheep. Amen.